Welcome to Africa's LSP podcast, where we explore the world of translation, interpretation, and localization, as well as connect with the language industry's top players. From language service providers to the businesses and individuals who rely on their services, we'll be delving into the challenges, opportunities, and trends shaping the industry. Join us as we discover the power of language and the impact it has on connecting Africa and the world. Brought to you by Bolingo Consult and hosted by Nat Kintela, Africa's LSP podcast is the go-to podcast for all things language in Africa.
Greetings and welcome to another exciting episode of Africa's LSP podcast. I'm Nat Kintela, and today we are embarking on another fascinating exploration of the language services terrain in Africa. If you're passionate about education, children's books, and localization, you're in for a treat. Our guest today is none other than Christel Zami, a multifaceted professional who has carved a niche for herself in the fields of education, localization, and book writing. Hi, Christel. Warm welcome to Africa's LSP podcast. We are delighted to have you join us today.
Hello, hello, Nat. Hello to all the listeners of Africa's LSP podcast. I am very excited to be here. It is also such an honor for me to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me to this podcast.
Right. So let's start with you telling us more about yourself. I mean, who you are and what you do.
So, I am Christel Ami Dovene Zami. I am from Togo. And what do I do? I have so many things that generally I get confused about what I'm supposed to say. So, Christel Zami is an author. She's a program coordinator. She's an interpreter. She's a translator. She's a project manager. She's an educational consultant. And yeah, this is basically me.
Wow, that's a lot more than I knew about. I mean, it's amazing, but it's just got me wondering. So you're a project manager, educational consultant, translator, interpreter, etc. I'm wondering, how do you manage to balance all these roles and still get to write books? Because I've met a lot of aspiring authors who, due to their commitment to other things such as their regular jobs, family, etc., are unable to kickstart their writing career. Some pointers for such people would really be appreciated, Christel.
You rightly said it. I like your question because it has never been easy at all to align all these commitments together. Generally speaking, we have a lot of plans for a day. But what at all is a day? A day is generally 24 hours, right?
Right.
So you wake up, you feel like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and you end up ending the day without being able to achieve your goals. So what I generally do, because I have a lot of commitments, is that I never pressure myself into penning my thoughts, my emotions, my feelings, or whatever I want to share with my readers. I always prefer to leverage the free time that I have. It's very important. And actually, as you said, there are a lot of authors around the world who would like to really settle when it comes to writing, but it's impossible for them. So what works for me, of course, is that I always leverage my free time. When I talk about free time, for example, is when everything is quiet. It can be in the night when everybody's sleeping. You are free on your own. You can have your computer or your pen. You can write down whatever you feel like sharing with your readers. Or you can also leverage your holidays because like sometimes you can have like maybe one day off. You can leverage that time when you decide not to do anything at all apart from sharing exactly your feelings, your thoughts, or whatever you have within yourself. I think those are critical moments. And sometimes, for example, when you're driving or maybe when you're walking around, if you feel like you have great ideas that you would like to share or maybe like convert into a book, one of the things that I do, I record myself first in order for me not to forget. This is also maybe a tip that can be useful to any aspiring writer outside there. You can record yourself and later on when you are free, at those particular moments of the day that I mentioned earlier, it can be in the night or it can be in the afternoon during lunch or in the evening during dinner when you would like to write. At that moment, you can bring it back and then write them down. At in this level, you are sure that you're never going to forget anything and you definitely build up that career of the writer that you are looking forward to.
Amazing. Thanks for sharing, Christel. Now, let's delve deeper into your work as an author. You recently came out with a children's storybook about the environment titled Ami Series. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, indeed, indeed. A recently published Army series. I'm so excited whenever I talk about it because I'm so proud of it. And then there is a long story behind this book. I'm always like happy and sometimes I shed some tears when I talk about it because I really have to thank my friends, Adi and Clayford, because I remember one day we met during a discussion and we were all sharing our hidden dreams, like what do you aspire or yearn for? What are some of the things that you feel like you can do that you have never gotten the courage to do? And at that moment, I mentioned that my desire to become an author, but more specifically to become a children's book author. And at that moment, like they were, yeah, but we can do it. I was like, no, I don't think they are good enough because I'm generally good at writing stories and for my nephews, for my nieces, or for children around me, even the schools that I used to work in because I used to be a teacher. And they were like, yeah, but what makes you believe that's not good enough? Okay, we can strike this deal. If you give us that book we read and we feel it's good enough, we need to publish it. So that's how we started the whole journey.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, I started like working on it. They went through it. They told me it was amazing. I felt so, so, so encouraged by their words. It meant a lot to me, honestly. Because one thing is to feel like you have talent, but another thing is to be for that talent to be accepted and to be applauded. And that's exactly what they did. And I'm really thankful to that. So we published it in December 2022. And it was even in Arusha that it was done. It was an amazing day. I was like very happy. I was happy. I was overwhelmed. And a couple of friends were there. Now, the story is about Ami, the main character of the story. A little girl who is quite curious. She's an adventurer. And her main goal was like to be able to make the world a better place by changing every bad actions that human beings were, you know, taking around a community, starting with pollution, poaching. And she was aware of the fact that the climate was changing. She didn't really know the cause. So all the adventure would turn around that, making the world better, trying to understand the situation, all the elements of nature were going through.
Awesome. I couldn't help but realize that the main character in this story shares a name with you. First of all, was this book in any way influenced by your childhood? And if so, can you share any specific childhood memories or experiences which influenced the creation of this character?
Now, you talked about Ami. Yeah, the book has, or the character has my name, Ami. Why did I choose to call her Ami? It's interesting to mention that because, of course, it is related to my own experience as a child. I grew up in a part of Africa where people were not that proud of their native languages, native names, I meant. And so you see that people prefer to be called by names like Christelle, Anna, rather than being called, you know, Ami, Dovene. And of course, like because my tribe is from another country, so they didn't really know how to pronounce some of my middle names, especially Dovene. But I remember that there was a particular educator in my school. We used to love Dovene, but instead of calling it Dovene, he used to call it Doven. I used to love it. It was fun. But I only started appreciating loving my name. I started loving it when I moved back officially to my homeland. And once I get there, I realized that people will prefer calling me Ami Dovene rather than calling me Crystal. So I started kind of rediscovering myself, rediscovering my culture, loving it and embracing it. So because I started loving it, like I started thinking about the possibility to use it like virtually everywhere. When I introduce myself, I always want to mention also like the fact that I'm called Ami and Dovene. Now, coming back to what I share with the character, I was a mixture of boldness and shyness. I don't know how you can understand it, though. But think about it. Just imagine a little girl who's a bit shy at times and very bold sometimes. I was very inquisitive and curious. I would ask a lot of questions. But unfortunately, you know, in the African context, you'll not necessarily get the answers to the questions you're asking. Because maybe people will feel like those are bad manners, like to ask too many questions. Just follow, just observe, and you understand. But I grew up like with that feeling. I'm not calling it frustration, but there is a part of me which needed answers to questions. That is exactly how this little girl, I mean, in the book is. She's curious. She wants to understand. She wants to solve problems, but she needed also to get the answers to her questions. She'll keep on insisting till she gets there. So that is exactly what I wanted to also like convey by, you know, that same experience that I had through this little girl.
Right, right. Now, aside from English, you've translated your book into multiple African languages. The translator that you are, I mean, I can understand why you'd want to do that. However, as an educational consultant, how do you see this multilingual approach to literature and storytelling contributing to a child's holistic development, particularly in Africa?
Yeah, now, talking about the reason why I decided like to publish the book into several languages, and here again, I have to point out the importance of having good friends around you. When we started the whole journey, the AMI series, in the very beginning, the plan was like, yeah, to publish it in only one language. But then, because I was working with Bolingo, which is an amazing language service provider, we had a meeting where we were like trying to think about possibilities to make it available also in other languages, because this is also one of the focuses of Bolingo. And I was really excited about it because honestly, look, I'm an author. My book is available in my own native language. But can you imagine that I'm not really comfortable reading it? Sometimes it's a bit difficult for me, and how I wish I can really go backward and in order for me to be able to master my language, be able to read and understand. It just like remind me about like something that Nelson Mandela said when he said, if you want really to touch somebody's mind, you can just talk like in the language you understand. But when you use the mother tongue of that person, the person is touched. The heart of that person is touched. And that's exactly what I believe. As an educational consultant, I strongly believe that kids learn better in the language they feel more comfortable with. You know, when kids are freshly coming to school, very often, depending on which family they're coming from, sometimes they don't necessarily have the language of instruction. If, for example, the language of instruction in that very country or maybe in the school is English, and they're coming from a country where Swahili is spoken or Ewe is spoken or Ga or any other native language is spoken, in the very beginning, the children are struggling. So that transition like make them delay a little bit when it comes to learning. But the fact of teaching them the language they understand best helped them a big deal. You know, we cannot measure the intelligence of somebody by the way he speaks maybe an official language, because it's not necessarily what the person has within him or herself. So it's a way of saying that it's very important nowadays for us to be aware of that. So AMI series is published in 7 languages so far. So far, it's available in Swahili, in Ewe, in Zulu, in Arabic, in French, in English, and Chui. We are thinking about more languages to add to the list. I strongly believe that if people have access to it from now, not only we are creating content, but you're also helping children to start being proud of their native languages and then to even emulate those our ancestors who were like, you know, raising that flag or the culture of Africa wherever they found themselves.
Great. So, per experience, I know publishing a book in itself is no mean feat, let alone in multiple languages, and more so for a region as Africa, which has a rich tapestry of languages and cultures. Now, could you briefly share some of the challenges you encountered during the localization process of your book?
So, indeed, as you said, publishing a book itself is no mean feat. I do agree with you. Now, when it comes to localizing them, especially when you have the book available in so many languages, is really demanding. And I've seen that whole idea of like teamwork, commitment, motivation, dedication throughout this journey. Yeah, it's honestly not easy. Africa is a continent rich of languages. And honestly, the task has been so easy for me because I worked with Bolingo. I would never, ever be tired to thank them for the amazing work they have been doing so far. Honestly, the whole journey was made possible greatly because of them. Thank you so much to them. Talking about localization, we did a lot of changes when it comes to the names from one language to another one. Mainly, we kept the name throughout because we felt like it's easy in Africa. There were names that are a bit similar. In the Arabic version, for example, we decided to change the name. Amel is a name that is more like present or maybe common in the Arabic culture. And the outfit, when it comes to illustration, they also suggested. So we worked not only the illustrator, but at that point, we also worked with the linguist who were able to suggest the kind of colors that would be more acceptable in a particular context, the kind of names, the kind of foods. Of course, it depends on the circumstance. I remember some time ago, I had a presentation during a conference, and then I was explaining, somebody asked that question like, don't you think that by localizing too much, we are kind of losing the original message? And I thought about it for 1 second, and I said, yes and no at the same time. Why? Because it all depends on the message you want to convey. If, for example, the message is not that like important, or it's just like for information purpose, or you just want to share something for fun, then you don't really necessarily need to adapt every single part of the book. But now, if really there is a strong message and you really want it to be accepted by the other culture, and you also want them to understand the message hidden behind it, at that moment, you'll be compelled to adapt. So I'm giving you an example of food. We don't necessarily need to change the food when, for example, the food is cross-cutting. In Africa, you know, we have like ugali in the Swahili culture is also eaten by other people in different parts of Africa. But the name is not the same. So even if you're talking about that, people will not really resonate with the food you're talking about. They require more time to go and research, to understand before they even pay attention to the actual message. So sometimes to avoid all these petty things, it's very important for you to localize in order for them to focus on the actual message you're trying to convey. This is just a little example for people to understand why it is important to localize a content, especially when it comes to books and books for kids, because kids are different from adults. Kids are captivated by the pictures, the colors, the outfit, the names, the faces, the features. You know, there are so many things that draw children's attention. So if you're not able to input those things, it will be really difficult for you to get the attention of the readers or your target audience. So that is why whenever you want to write in a specific language, if you're targeting a specific audience, think about it and find better ways to touch their heart, to attract their attention.
Interesting points there, Christelle. Wow. That's a lot of things to take into consideration when localizing content. Which brings me to this question. So you already mentioned the beautiful collaboration between you and Bolingo Consult in publishing AMI series in various African languages. Now, can you emphasize a bit more on why it's pertinent for authors and language professionals to work together to ensure that African stories are accessible to as many people as possible while still preserving linguistic diversity?
Yeah, when it comes to localization, we worked a lot with the linguist. We had meetings, they listened to us, they listened to the idea, the dream behind the book, because it's also very important. You cannot localize anything where the author himself or maybe like the owner is not there, because the owner has to share the reason why the product exists, the reason why the content exists in the first place for you to be able to understand how to, I would not say transpose, but how to also share it in the other culture. It's very key. Now, coming back to the localization aspect and why it's important to involve professionals, there is no way you'll be able to localize your content, your book, your article, or whatsoever you want to share outside there if you don't involve the professionals. Why? Because they know the culture better than you. You are coming from a totally different culture. And sometimes you're even coming from this very culture, but you didn't grow up in the environment where your target audience grew up. So, you know, there can be conflict in interest, or maybe like you can affect their sensibility if you're not careful. And that's why you really need to involve the professionals there. They will look at the whole content. They will make suggestions. They will tell you exactly what needs to be changed, what is okay, what is acceptable, and what is not. So if you don't do that, maybe you publish your book and then people will still complain about the content. Some of them will not even accept it because for them it's a taboo. So in order to avoid that, sit down. It's more or less like a lot of conversations going on between you, the publisher, and also like the language professionals. You share ideas, you agree on points, you disagree, and then you build on the conclusions every single day.
Right. Since we're already on the issue of localization, let's dwell there for a while. Localization, as we already know, is a crucial step in adapting content for different cultures. And I know this is another area you're very much interested in. I mean, you've been involved in several localization projects, adapting important documents, across varying industries and topics into various African cultures. How, in your opinion, does this process contribute to preserving language and cultural heritage as a whole?
Yeah, so it's very important, actually. Localization is key. As you said, I personally have been involved in many localization projects, and it's something that is really interesting. I'm really passionate about that because it really helps preserving languages, as you pointed out. Apart from Africa, generally around the world, we know that there are so many languages that are endangered. It's funny whenever we talk about languages being endangered, because we are used to thinking about animals only, you know, because of poaching, but also languages. A lot of languages are endangered. Some of them are even totally disappearing. There are so many languages that cannot be spoken anymore. And you don't have any native of those languages around the world. I was watching a documentary last time when they were mentioning that more than 40% of the languages around the world are more likely to totally disappear if you're not doing anything about them. So this is the way. Localization is one of the amazing and golden opportunities for any single person speaking his or her native language to maintain those languages alive. Why? Because, as I said, language carries the culture. When I speak my language, I speak it with like the emotions, I speak it with the features, I speak it with the way of living, I speak it with almost everything. So whenever you don't use your language, you don't have your content in your language, you don't adapt the content in your language, there is a part of the culture that disappears. I was talking about, for example, food. There is nothing wrong about maybe creating a content and talking about pizza, talking about spaghetti. They are good because at least you are discovering other cultures. But when you never talk about maybe your banku, you never talk about wache, you never talk about them at all, how would the next generation of people continue to like preserve that? You know, they will forget at a certain point. And it's not only about food. There are so many other things. You're not talking about the attire, outfits, you know. You're not talking about dances in those languages. How would these people be able to have the content and even know how they mention or they pronounce them? Because they can see it, but because they are used to using a foreign language to refer to them, it will be a kind of replacement. You are creating that gap. And in order to avoid that, localization is really like an amazing way to preserve our languages and keep them alive.
Awesome. Awesome. Before we wrap up, Crystal, I'd like to give you the opportunity to tell our listeners across Africa and the globe where and how they can access the different versions of this wonderful book of yours, AMI series.
Okay. So where can we get this book? It's so easy. We have a couple of libraries in Ghana where you can have access to them. We have Blue Knight, for example, easy to have access to it. You can also get in touch with Bolingo Consult, who can provide you with the book in the language that you feel comfortable with. But apart from that, we have an amazing website that I'm vividly encouraging you to go through. It is books.bolingoconsult.com. You really have to visit that website. It's amazing, I'm telling you. Sometimes I just spend my time, like at least 10 to 20 minutes, just going through, like, you know. And I'm quite excited about it. Apart from that, you can also have the book. It's available on Google, on Spotify, on Scribd, Storytel, Barnes and Noble, Libro, Binge Books, Chirp Books, Kobo, and so on and so forth. So you can decide to have access to the audio version or the paperback or the ebook. So it depends on you, what you feel comfortable with. It depends on you, yeah.
Right, it depends on you. Finally, Crystal, what advice would you give to authors, both aspiring and professional, who are looking to make a positive impact on their communities and the world through their work?
Yeah, what advice can I give to the aspiring authors out there, or young readers or authors? You know, everything is possible in this life. It all depends on how hard you work at it. If you really believe that you want to become an author, then never, ever give up. You can do that. But how? It all starts by having a clear schedule and specific goals. What exactly are you passionate about? Write about that for a start. If you're passionate about children, write about children. If you're passionate about fashion, write about fashion. This is a good start. And never stop getting feedback from people. It's very important. That's a way for you to grow. Whenever you write, you can give it to people you trust enough who can give you genuine and objective feedback. It's very important. This is how you are going to really to improve. Get corrected, but you have to also read a lot. Becoming an author also means that you like reading, because when you read that, you get ideas. When you read that, you get thought. You get a clear platform, and it gives you the desire, the motivation for you to also share something that you learned that you would like to also share with people. So yeah, those are basic things that I think I can share for now. Yeah.
Wow. Thanks for that, Christelle. Well, all too soon, we've come to the end of today's episode, and it's been great talking to you, Christelle.
Oh, it's so sad that we are at the end of the show already. I wish it could be longer than this. But definitely, we have more time to share experience, to share thoughts, ideas.
Definitely. But thanks so much for coming onto the podcast and sharing your insight with us. Like we always do, we'll leave links to your LinkedIn profile, as well as those to the sites which host your book, so that our listeners can follow up.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Right. Thank you once again for your time and contribution, Christelle.
Thank you so much for everything, for receiving me today. And I look forward to more occasions like that for us to exchange. Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Africa's LSP podcast. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and learned something new. For feedback or inquiries, reach out to us at podcast@bolingoconsult.com. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite platforms. Until next time, stay curious and keep growing.